It's always an interesting week getting ready for a Mother's Day sermon for me. If you were going to switch places with me and you were going to stand up here and deliver an address from the Word of God that relates to mothers, where would you start? Some would say Proverbs 31, and we go through the principles that God has given as far as what a blessed mother or woman is. It's interesting. We all have moms. We all came from moms. And whether or not your mother is still living, I want you to pay close attention to what we say this morning, because the Bible certainly is not silent when it comes to family relationships. Certainly is not silent when it comes to our relationship as children to our parents. Matter of fact, the Ten Commandments, which most everybody in the world knows, has a command right in there related to parents. I'd like you to turn to Exodus 20. Read along with me in verse 1. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father's son on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, your cattle or sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea that is all, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land in which your God gives you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Ten Commandments, and stuck right in the middle of them, is God's short command to us to honor our father and our mother. We'll be talking about that today. Proverbs chapter 30, not 31. Verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That's a lovely thought for Mother's Day, isn't it? What's that saying? Those who dishonor their parents will typically not listen to their instruction. They'll make a mess of their lives and sometimes even die an early death. That's what it's describing. Careful to honor your parents. Listen to them. Ephesians chapter 6, our New Testament instruction, which really mirrors what we just read in Exodus chapter 20. Favorite verse of every parent. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he repeats what we just read in Exodus. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, which says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We have a short window of opportunity in our lives to do this. Our parents are not with us forever. My parents aren't here this morning. They're traveling back from a trip they took down south, and they're on the road, and they're in their middle 70s. I'm in my late 40s. And so there's going to come a time when they're not going to be around anymore. My grandparents have all passed away. There'll be a time when I go and my children won't have the opportunity to do this. But we have a window in our lives where we can honor our parents, honor our mother and our father. So take that opportunity. And if you're in a position now where your parents are gone, listen to what the scriptures say. The instruction that's given here is indicative of how we ought to live out the gospel. It's not just for children. It's for everybody. And so if your parents are gone and you're in an older stage in life, or if your mother has passed away early and you're still a child, listen to what the scriptures say, because the principles hold true. And you can teach it, you can encourage others to do it, and you can even apply these principles in your life in many different ways. What I'd like to do with you this morning is actually turn to a passage that I think we're pretty familiar with in John 19 and look at our supreme example, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he demonstrated this command in his life. So if you turn there with me, John chapter 19. I'd like to be very practical with you this morning. It's nice to stand up and say, honor your father and mother. And we can repeat those words and we can say, yeah, I do. But what does that look like? How do we do that? Jesus Christ himself gave us a perfect example in these words in John 19. And we'll explore them this morning and try to extract a little bit out of it to help us to know what ought we to be doing with our mother and father. How should we treat them? As a Christian, as one who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and abides by the gospel, a life of obedience is one that we ought to strive for. Jesus Christ, again, was our example of this. He said that he came not to do his own will. He said, my will, my food, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And we know the command of God is to honor your father and mother. So even in this, and even in the different relationship that Jesus had with his parents, he still honors them and demonstrates what that honor looks like. So if you look in John chapter 19, I'd like you let's go back to verse 17 to pick up a little bit of the context. This is the time when Jesus had already been betrayed by Judas. He had been arrested in the garden the night before. He now has stood before Pilate, was mocked, was scourged, and they are now marching him toward the cross. So verse 17, they took Jesus therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on his on either side and Jesus in between. And Pilate wrote an inscription also and put it on the cross. And as it was written, Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, this inscription many of the Jews read, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And so the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, don't write King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. They were upset with even the inscription that was given there. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. And the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. And they said, therefore, to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dig in here. Father, we thank you so much for what you have done for us and accomplished for us at the cross. Lord, even reading these words, reminding us this morning of the suffering and the agony that you went through physically, realizing also the spiritual agony that you endured hanging on the cross as you cried out to your Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" We understand, Lord, that this act of death was a sacrifice, the reason for which you sent your Son, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thank you that on the cross, Jesus took the penalty for every sin that every person has ever committed upon himself and bore that punishment that we might live. And we thank you for that and just ask for your blessing now as we think through these words that Jesus uttered as he was suffering. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And just a quick side note here. The whole reason we honor our mother and our father is not just because it's the right thing to do. It's because God commanded it. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, are obviously concerned about walking with God and living a life that pleases him. But understand that honoring your father and your mother is not a work that earns you salvation. The Ten Commandments were given to us to obey, but those commandments and obedience to them do not produce life. No man can keep every command that God has ever given because he's full of sin, and that's why Jesus Christ had to die. That's why he was suffering on the cross here. He was suffering the agonies of crucifixion and all that they had done to him because the Father put him there out of love for you and me so that we would be able to experience eternal life through faith in what Jesus did. It was a substitution, him for you. And it doesn't take long for us to, you know, especially if our walls are up against the back, or our backs are up against the wall, to admit that we're sinful. You know, a couple of quick questions can answer that. Have you ever lied? Have you ever done this? And it's like, well, yes, I have. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Never? All right, we've all broken that commandment, I think, at some point or other. And so the commandments themselves don't save you. The commandments themselves don't bring you to eternal life. They're like a schoolmaster that teach us about ourselves and teach us the importance of what Christ did. And so here he is. He's hanging on the cross. And one of the last things, there were seven things that Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross. And one of them was this: "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Why did he say that? Here he is doing probably the most important thing ever in the creation of the universe. And he takes the time to talk to his mom. Very interesting. I want to bring two thoughts to you this morning. One is that as we consider what Jesus was doing here as he was hanging on the cross, he was demonstrating for us two very important things. One, love for his mother. Two, honor for his mother. One thing to say that you do something, it's another thing to do it. We need to walk the walk. And Jesus Christ obviously walked the walk. He didn't just teach and not do what he said. The world is full of hypocrites. Parents many times are hypocrites because they tell their children, "Don't do this," but they do it. They tell their children, "Do this," but they never do it themselves. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. Jesus lived out the law perfectly before his heavenly Father. And as he would have taught the Ten Commandments to his disciples, he didn't just say them, he lived them. And he demonstrated them. He showed us what it looked like. And this is a great example of that. He demonstrated things all the time. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, you know this verse. It says that God demonstrates his own love for us. How did he demonstrate his love for us? By sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't just say that he loved us. He showed that love in action. And so we ought to be looking to this as an example of how Jesus demonstrated that action of loving and honoring his mother. He was showing us how to do it. I want to begin with the term woman. Now, at first glance, when you read that, what do you think? Woman, behold your son. What does it sound like in English? Sounds a little insulting, doesn't it? So my mom's going to come home this afternoon after a trip. They've been away for a couple of weeks. And I'm going to walk up and say, hello, woman. No. Well, Jesus said it, right? I can say it. Should I say it? Well, you got to understand, you got to go back and look at a little history, a little etymology, a little how the word is used here. And this is not a derogatory term at all. This was actually a term of endearment and respect. And there may have been many reasons why Jesus chose to use this word at this time. But first of all, understand that he was not insulting his mother. There was one other time where he used the word woman. Anybody think where it was? John chapter 2, at the miracle in Cana, where he turned the water into wine, he called his mother woman in the same way. And again, there were people present at that time, just like there were lots of people present here at the crucifixion. There were men standing around. And one thing that I think Jesus was trying to do was to demonstrate and show a proper respect for his mother. And while in English it comes across, we wouldn't use that word woman in our language, in his language, in his time, in that culture, using that word was actually a term of great respect. And I believe that was one reason that he did it. It was a term of endearment and respectfulness. Perhaps, we don't know, I read this in one of the commentaries I was reading, perhaps Jesus didn't use his normal word for whatever he called Mary, and he didn't use her name to try to protect her. Again, this is speculation, but I want you to think, all you moms, how would you be feeling standing next to your son as he's being crucified in front of the Roman soldiers? Your heart would be breaking. There's nothing you can do. You can't go up there and pull him off the cross. You can't fight against the Romans. It's done. He's suffering. He's there. He's going to die. You're going to lose him in a matter of hours. And so for Jesus, perhaps, to use his regular name for his mom would have caused her even extra emotional turmoil as she heard her name, as she heard her son cry out her name. And perhaps he was sparing her from that. Whatever it was, whether it was out of respect or out of protection for her, you get the sense of what Jesus was doing, even as he used the word. So let me say this. One way that we can love our moms is to love her verbally. Jesus spoke to her, and in this, we'll talk about how he cared for her as we go through the passage here. But how do you express love to anybody? Well, you can show it by your deeds, by your actions, you can give. But one way that we ought to be sharing and showing our love to our moms is by telling them. Give them a word. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Thank them for what they have done. Be appreciative. Use the words, I love you. There's nothing wrong with that. Has God told us that he loves us? Well, let me ask you the question. Does God love you? How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Where does he say it? Look at Jeremiah 31:3. The love of God is important to us, isn't it? We know that we are loved by God. How do we know that? Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness, and I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. And, you know, this is God speaking to Israel, but by extension, he's speaking to you and me. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world, he wrote it down for us so that we would know it. The reason you know it is because he said it. Oftentimes, husbands and wives have real difficulty because they don't talk to each other. They don't tell what's in their heart. They don't express it, and so we can only guess at what the other person is thinking or feeling. But if you communicate and speak, then you know. So love your mother verbally. Tell her. Talk to her, as Jesus did. We appreciate words when they're directed to us, don't we? Men especially love to hear those words. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did. Give it back. What was the golden rule? Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So do it. Jesus used words as he demonstrated his love for his mom, even as he was suffering on the cross. So give your mom words of appreciation. Love her verbally. Say thank you. Say I love you. Real practical thing here. Not only can we love our mothers verbally, but even in the demonstration here, as Christ was hanging on the cross, I'll make the connection here, we should love them physically. Your mom loved you with her touch from day one. She carried you in her womb. She went through excruciating pain to bring you into this world. And from the moment of that birth, she took you right into her arms. Cared for you, kissed you, cleaned you up, and touched you. She nursed you, she cradled you. And physical touch, we don't talk about it a lot, maybe because we live in such a sexually charged world and all of the things that are going on in our community and place around us. We have all these protections, you know, to be careful not to touch anybody inappropriately. It's not inappropriate to touch your mom. Give her a hug. Give her a kiss. Physical expression of love is part of the beauty of this created world. It's what God expects of us. Even in the New Testament, again, they're not verses we look at very often, but there they are. Look at Romans 16:16. And you say, well, that was just cultural. Yeah, but. What's Paul say to do? Romans 16:16. Greet each other with a kiss. You're putting your lips on somebody else. Should we start doing that at our church? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church. Mwah. Okay. See you later, right? Sure, it was cultural, but what was Paul telling the disciples and the believers to do with each other? Physically demonstrate your love for one another. It's okay to give each other a hug. It's okay. Kiss your mom. Hug your mom. Put your arm around your mom. Hold your mom's hand. Let her know. So it's a perfect way to demonstrate love. How was Jesus demonstrating love to the world at that moment? What was he giving? He was giving his body, which was broken and beaten and torn and bloodied. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. There was a physicality to this that you can't ignore. It was a touch. How did Jesus demonstrate his love for his own disciples in John 13? What was his action? Sorry for all the questions this morning. Just getting you to think. He washed their feet. You think he touched their feet? I know a lot of people who say, don't touch my feet. Don't like you touching my feet. It tickles. Right? And feet are not the most pleasant things to touch. I had a problem with my foot this week, and I went to the doctor. Doctor comes in. He's very clean cut, a little younger than I am. He's got a tie on and all this. And my foot had been stuck in my shoe all day long. And I had to pull out my foot in front of the doctor so he could examine it. And as soon as I took my shoe off, I could smell it. I know he could. Toenails get a little gross every now and then. If you don't wear shoes, what happens to your feet? They get dirty, right? They wore sandals in Jesus' day. What do you think their feet looked like? Exposed to the dusty road all the time. And Jesus took their feet and he held them in his hand and he washed them. He touched them. All I'm saying is it's right to love your mom in a way that's physical. Give her the touch that she longs for. So Jesus demonstrated love for his mom by being verbal. Love your mother verbally. He demonstrated love being physical. So love your mother physically. And then a third way, love your mother patiently. Al read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning to open the service. What's the first phrase? Love is patient. It's the first in the list. It's probably the most critical part of demonstrating true love is patience with each other. We're so impatient with each other, aren't we? I'm sick of this. I hate it when they do that. And we complain about each other. How do you think about your mom? Are you patient with her? If you're not, you're not honoring her and you're not loving her. You think Jesus was patient with his own mother? You bet he was. Is God patient with you? You love that bumper sticker, right? Be patient. God's not done with me yet. We want people to be patient with us as we make our mistakes, as we walk through this world. Be patient with her. It's a great way to show true love. Patience is an evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you're walking with God, patience will be developed. It'll be on the increase. God showed his patience to us in lots of different ways. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Second Peter 3:8 says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. There's a whole sermon in that. God's relationship to time. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You ever wonder why God just doesn't crush us? Why doesn't he just stop us before we do all the stuff we do? We get so impatient with others. It's like the servant who owed the king his debt, and the king was going to throw him in prison, and he threw himself on the ground before this king and said, I can never pay you. I just can't do it. Just have mercy on me. And the king granted him mercy. But then that same servant, another guy owed him some money. And what did he do? He turns around and he chokes the guy. Give me your money. You owe me money. And he never gave back what God had given him, what the king had given him. Why are we so impatient with people when God is so patient with us? It's an evidence of your love. Don't be impatient with your mother. She's human. She's sinful like you. She's been patient with you. Be patient with her. Look at Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It's exactly what God's saying here. you've received from God. Why? Don't think lightly about what God's done for you. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Don't be like that servant who received mercy from the king and then not show mercy to others. If we're Christians, live out the gospel. In the gospel, we learn of the love and the patience of God, and we revel in that. Live it. Be patient. Love your mother patiently. One other verse, Psalm 86, 15. A verse we all love to quote when it applies to us. But thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. That's the way we ought to be towards our moms. So Jesus first demonstrates what it means to love his mother by loving her. And he loved verbally, physically, and patiently, and we ought to do the same. Second, Jesus demonstrates what it means to honor your mother. And he honored her with a number of things here in John chapter 19. Let's turn back there. Let's read the verses again. Verse 25, therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Now again, you're going to use your imagination here a little bit, but how would you feel as a mother who's watching her son die, and then he says these words, look at that man, he's your son. Would you cry out and say, no, you're my son? I don't think Jesus was trying to confuse her. I don't think he was trying to hurt her in any way. What was he doing? He was showing her great care. Great care. He honored his mother by showing her care. What was going to happen after he died? Little side note here. Where's Joseph? You ever thought about that? It's assumed that Joseph is dead. There's nowhere in the scriptures that say that he died. It's just all of a sudden he was there and whoop, now he's gone. I don't think he left. We know that Joseph was a righteous man. Remember when he found out that Mary was with child before they were married? He wanted to put her away privately, though he could have publicly shamed her. He didn't. He was a righteous man. It was part of his character. I don't think he left Mary. I don't think he divorced her and took off somewhere. It's more likely, most likely, that he died and that Mary is now a widow. What happens to widows? How are widows cared for? Jesus would have been the person who cared for his mother. When a husband dies, in this culture, in Jesus' culture, the family was to take care of the widow, especially the oldest son. It was his responsibility to take her into his home. Jesus didn't have a home. Jesus didn't have a house. Jesus didn't have a wife and children. So who's going to take care of Mary? Jesus, knowing that he was going to the cross, knowing that his march to Jerusalem was going to end in his death, who's going to take care of Mary? This was not a last-minute decision by Jesus. He had thought this through. What did Mary's care involve? When he says, woman, behold your son, and then he said to the disciple, behold your mother, from that hour the disciple did what? Okay, I'm going to toss her in a nursing home. Bye. Nope. What did he do? He took her into his house. He provided a place for her. He gave her a room. He gave her a bed. He gave her a pillow. He gave her food. He cared for her. He took care of the needs that she would have as a person in this life. What was Jesus doing when he said, "Woman, behold your son"? And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother"? He was providing for her. He was providing for her into her old age so that somebody would be there to take care of her when she needed care. What is this going to involve? It's going to involve a house. John was now going to be put out to some degree because there's another person in the house. She would now live in John's household. Has God given you a house? Has God given you a family? Absolutely. And if you're a Christian, he's given you a huge family. Lots of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and people who will help you in your time of need. We help each other here at our church. People have needs, the needs get met. That's what showing honor to somebody does. So housing, she would now live in John's household. How did God take care of you? Wasn't it through your mom? At the beginning anyway? Or through at least somebody who acted as a mom to you? He gave you a house, he gave you a place to live. I find it funny when the kids, they just expect everything. Where's my food? How come there's no breakfast on the table? I want to go here. Take me. I want to go there. Take me. Drive me. You're my mom. Drive me. Right? Kids just expect it. We do. As parents, we supply the needs of our kids. We give them everything they need. And then their eyes are open when they get to be late teenagers and go, "Oh man, this is expensive." God took care of you through your parents. Take care of her. It might involve housing. It might involve having her come back to you as a family. It's the right thing to do. You think it involved money? Of course it did. Who's gonna pay for the food that Mary's going to eat in John's household? John. Was it an inconvenience for him to have to buy extra food? To buy extra clothes? To buy an extra chair? To buy an extra bed? I don't know what he had to buy. He had to get it somehow. But this was now John's responsibility, and there was a financial responsibility attached to it so that her expenses would be paid. This was what Jesus was saying to John. This is now your mother. She is your responsibility. Treat her as you would treat your own mom. Bring her into your house and give her what she needs. Has God ever forsaken you? Has he provided for you? Psalm 37, David said, "I have never, from the time I was young to the time I've been old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken." I was reading a commentary about that. It's a good quote. He says, this is kind of a way of what David was saying, "I say nothing but what I can confirm by my own long observation. When I was young, I began to take notice of it, and I've continued to do so till now that I am grown old. And I cannot remember that in all my life I ever saw a truly pious, just, charitable man left destitute of necessary things, or his children after him, reduced to such poverty that they were constrained to beg from door to door." How does God do this? How has the money come to you? You say, "Well, I worked for it." All right? You didn't always work for it. But God provided for you all along the way. God provided for you through people. You are a person. Be a person through whom God will provide for others. It's part of part of honoring your parents. So if God has provided for you mainly through your parents at the beginning, make sure that you give back. So there was housing involved, there was a financial commitment involved, there was also probably at some point going to be physical care. Yes? We're all getting old. I hate bending over to tie my shoes. I hate it. I still do it, and I can do it. There's going to be a time probably when I can't. Who's going to tie my shoes? Somebody. Got to get dressed. Got to use the bathroom. Got to eat. Who's going to do it? Physical care. Mother, behold your son. Son, your mother. So when she becomes weak, too weak to do for herself, John will be there. Right? So honoring your mother includes care. It also, as you look at what Jesus did here, involved foresight and planning. And again, I'm going to say with authority here, this was not a last-minute decision by Jesus. It wasn't that he was hanging on the cross and went, oh, Mom, John, okay, good. Right? No. What was Jesus' relationship to John? John was the disciple that he loved the most and that he trusted the most. Do you know who the only disciple was that was standing there at the foot of the cross? John. Where were the rest? They hightailed it out of there because they were afraid. They watched what was happening to Jesus. They saw him get arrested. They saw him go before Pilate, and they took off. They're hiding somewhere in Jerusalem. Not to be seen, except for one. John. What does that say about John? He's courageous. He's faithful. He was committed. You think Jesus took a little bit of time to think about who was going to care for his mother? It involved foresight and planning. John was ready to say yes as he was standing there. I don't know if they had discussed it ahead of time. Doesn't say. But John knew exactly what Jesus was asking of him, and he was ready to say yes. Jesus knew John. John knew Jesus. And John knew Mary. He'd been in her house. He knows who she was. He didn't just let her go. He didn't just let society and the community at large take care of her. He spoke specifically to a specific person that she knew and that she loved and that she trusted, so that when she was now to go into this household, it wasn't going to be something difficult or something that would be a burden to her. He knew that this would involve a place to live, food, physical care. He counted. Who does anything without counting the cost? Jesus said that, right? What man would go and build a tower without first counting the cost? He counted the cost. So what are we saying? Honoring our parents should involve advanced planning, thinking about it, talking about it with our brothers and sisters or other people who might be involved, so it doesn't come to the point where you don't know what you're going to do. So he honored his mother by caring for her. He honored his mother with foresight and planning, and he honored his mother with generosity. And again, I go back to who he chose. He placed her into the care of the disciple that he loved most. He didn't let her just go with anyone and just say, okay, whatever happens, happens. It was with somebody she knew and somebody that she trusted, somebody that he knew, somebody that he trusted and loved. And you could say he placed her into the care of the disciple he loved most, but also the one that he trusted the most, which was John, and we've already demonstrated that. There were no other disciples at the cross. He didn't ask Peter to do this. He didn't ask Bartholomew to do this. He didn't ask Philip or Thomas. He asked John because he knew he was the right person for the job. It was the person that he trusted the most, which speaks again to the honor that we give our parents. So what are we saying? Jesus demonstrated on the cross as he was suffering what love and honor look like in those simple words, "Mother, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." We should show and we should follow the example of Christ in our own lives and show that kind of love and that kind of honor to our parents. It's just the right thing to do. It's a demonstration of an obedient heart. It's a demonstration of the gospel at work in our lives. We love to talk about the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the graciousness of God and the fact that God is slow to anger and all this stuff in our own lives. Be that, especially as it comes to your parents. To love your mom just as Jesus Christ loved his own mother. To love her verbally, to love her physically, to love her patiently. To honor your mom just as Jesus honored his mother, with care, with foresight and planning, and with generosity. We should honor our mothers that way. So happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for the instruction that we receive in your word. And we pray that as we go about our day today, especially as we honor our moms on Mother's Day, that these words would be burned into our souls and hearts. Help us to recall regularly what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And even as he was suffering, as he uttered these words, for us to realize the demonstration of how he was being obedient to the call to honor his mother and his father. Help us to be the same, to do the same, and in so doing, bring glory to you and be a testimony to the world around us of what the care and the love of God really looks like. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.